The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Going outside the box again, we have a guest with us to kind of talk about the Vladimir Jr., whatever you want to call it, rumors. So he can be found on the Toronto Blue Jays Gate 14 pod. His name is Avery Chenier. How are you?
Not bad. Thank you for having me. Happy. I don't even know if I'm happy to talk about my team at this point, but we're getting closer to baseball, so it's nice to be able to have some different things to talk about, at least, even if they're not going to be too positive about my team.
Well, I'm a Red Sox fan, so we can sit on the edge of the ledge together and just, you know, kumbaya.
I mean, the perceptions of both of our teams have just totally swapped in the last 2 years, and that's how quick some things can change for you in baseball.
Well, we're definitely going to get into that, but where are you from? I mean, I hear some Canadian in your voice.
Yeah, I'm about 40 minutes outside of Toronto.
Okay.
So girlfriend lives in the city. I'm right down there all the time whenever I can be, but played some bad college baseball, some Division II baseball in Kansas, so we had a little bit, and my co-host played junior college in Nebraska. So for a Canadian podcast to have two people who played American college baseball gave us a little bit of something when we got started.
So when you say like bad player, were you like a backup catcher or something?
No, I was a left-handed relief pitcher. It was like a 7 ERA in my 2 seasons.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, Oakland could have signed you. I mean, that's a ballpark. I mean,
I had some untapped stuff. We got into some pitch shape metrics. I'm sure I could have had a 6 ERA.
Yeah, I was just an average, not even collegiate, just growing up, little league and then senior league, as they called it. And I was a slappy, barely average contact hitter, but I can steal bases. And I was so good at it one time, I stole second with a man already on. That was brutal. And it was the third out of the inning. Long walk back to the dugout. But yeah. So I stayed out of it in high school, but all right, let's go ahead and, you know, you mentioned some frustrations and whatnot. The Blue Jays have been linked to everyone this winter. You were linked to, you know, Corbin Burns. I don't know if you were linked to Max Fried, but there's been Bregman, almost every notable player, Juan Soto even. So how's it been? I mean, we're mid-January now.
I'm in a spot where I've been able to understand I'm not crazy. I wish I was crazier. I think people would like that more. But to me, it's kind of made sense. So everyone, Rogers owns the Blue Jays. It's a telecommunications thing in Canada. And they have Rogers Sportsnet reports on the team. So those reporters always have the end as to what is going on. At the start of the offseason, they said, okay, the Jays got under the tax this year. And they said, okay, they're probably not going to have a huge payroll for this next season. And then everything that's come out so far is they're in on every single free agent who's going to cost them a ton of money. So it's always interesting to hear from those like kind of on the really inside and based on what's happening. The Jays have been tight-lipped. So every move they've made was broken by them. The Jeff Hoffman deal was broken by the team. No one got that early. So it's kind of weird how now seems like a lot of the agents are talking how it is. The agents get it out to the reporters, the national guys who put it out there, and that's what they have the Blue Jays in on. The Corbin Burns ones kind of sucks. Makes sense. He bought a house in Phoenix. He wants to be in Arizona. He reached out to the owner, it sounds like, to try and play there. We had the best offer for him. Soto, we didn't get to 700, I don't think, from everything we've heard so far. so frustrating, but it's all kind of made sense in how this team is being built, because I think, again, it's Vladdy. Santander was always the one. Santander and Bregman are the two that kind of seemed realistic at the start of free agency as guys they would want, good team fits, and they're still not off the board yet. So although everyone's freaking out on Twitter, like everyone does, I don't think they've lost any of their guys.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of those guys would be good fits. I mean, I could see Santander almost having like an Edwin Encarnacion type impact on your team. Kind of profiles the same way. Might be more of a DH in the long run.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to – I don't think him and George Springer are sharing much time in an outfield based on – so George's defense is good, but the age, and then Santander's defense might not be so great. But, yeah, again, Santander seemed like the perfect guy. He played like two games, I think, at first base. But in the long run, he could be that guy that anyone who's going to DH. You don't want to pay him $100 million to DH totally, like we might have to do with Vlad, way more than that. But, yeah, I thought Santander was probably the – best fit into this team.
I mean, what do you think he's going to cost at this point? It's probably no more than a three-year deal.
The Jays have $482 on the table for him right now.
Oh, do they? And he hasn't taken it?
And he wants $5 and more money.
Oh, yeah.
So we have, like, the market's not moved. It's not that Santander doesn't want to play here. We didn't give him what he wants, pretty much. So it's, I think, if no one budges, he'll just come back to the Jays deal.
Honestly, I mean, I think that's an overpay, but maybe we haven't really been in on him because I think he is a switch hitter, but he's more of a natural lefty. I mean, that's his natural side, and we've got nothing but lefties. So,
yeah.
So we just haven't really been linked to him. So I haven't paid close enough attention to his market, but I mean, that's a lot of money for a guy who's going to DH, I feel like.
But the thing is, we have money. We have the second most money of any ownership group, I think.
Is it? Okay, I was wondering baseball, that.
We have a ton of money to spend, so no one's like too worried about that at all. Like I like to say, hey, you want to make good deals. You want to project guys a couple years down the road. But then I get into my fan side and say, who cares how much money you're gonna pay this guy? Like, I need someone to hit home runs for my baseball team at some point, get us back to the glory couple years ago when we were just smoke balls all over the yard. Not something they've been accustomed to doing these past few years, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, like, if you go back to like 2016, 2017, you had like an ALCS run, I think, against it ended up being the Royals that finally tossed you guys out, but was that like a foreseen run to you?
I was a lot younger, not as dialed in as there. But when they got all of the acquisitions, picked up all like the Price and those guys, and they went on a huge second half run. It was a disappointing year, 15, and then huge second half run after that. And 16 kind of went into it. And then it started the slow rebuild once everyone was out of there. Those are the glory years for some. I'm 27, just turned 27. So anyone who wasn't born 92, 93, that's all the good memories we have is an ALCS playoff run, because there was a lot of years without going to the playoffs, honestly. So, yeah, those are the only great Blue Jays memories I have, and it's not even in a World Series game.
That was just such a fun team, you know, in the mid-2010s, and, you know, having Encarnacion and Joey Bats at the heart of your lineup. The only Blue Jay I've ever really hated, though, is Joey Bats.
And really?
You guys, I'm sure you loved him. And if I was a Toronto guy, I probably would. But he was just that polarizing personality. But, you know, it is what it is. Encarnacion, I would have loved to have had him when he hit free agency a year or two later on that three-year deal. He would have been amazing. But we had Mitch Moreland at the time, and then Steve Pierce for a little while after that. He was a Toronto Blue Jay for a while. I think we got him from you guys, actually. That is where we got him.
It was the Santiago Espinal deal.
Yes.
I believe sent him the other way. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly.
And then Steve Pierce, what, World Series MVP?
He was, and thank God. And the other Blue Jay I hated, but he became a Red Sox immediately after, was David Price.
Yeah.
David Price is my least favorite Red Sox player of all time. I hated that guy. I hated him before he got here, and I hated him even more after he got here.
Well, yeah, and then you get an unfortunate deal sending him out of town, too, linked to a deal that all Red Sox fans hate, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That Mookie deal, right?
Yeah. That's what the Bloom huggers will say. They'll blame it on Price as to why we didn't get a better package, because we had to attach that. But you know, it is what it is. Connor Wong has kind of salvaged it a little bit, but he's a terrible defensive catcher, and we just shipped our stud catcher prospect to Chicago.
Yeah.
In the Crochet deal. But getting back to the current run, I felt so dumb after July, but I did pick you guys to win the division last year. I thought this is the year they'll finally get it together. They're sick of losing. And, you know, this will be the year, because every year on paper, you guys are like a wagon. You guys look so good on paper. And I even had you guys going to the World Series one year recently, not last year, but maybe the year before.
It was probably 22.
Or something. You guys just look so good. And honestly, there's not a move you guys have made that I've hated, that I've said, oh, that was a dumb move. Why did Toronto do that? The only one kind of close to that, but it's worked out okay, is the Springer deal. Because I was thinking, Springer, he doesn't stay healthy. They're on AstroTurf, which isn't good. But it's worked out okay. I mean, he's been injured here and there, but...
Yeah, well, the years that he was really good... You got injured halfway through. I think it was, was it 20 or 21? And people will crucify me if they hear that. But it was his best statistic season as a Blue Jay, and hurt halfway through the year. And that's been it. So now people are down on Springer now. They hate the deal at this point. But again, that's the thing. I don't think our guys have made bad moves at all. And people hate that they on paper haven't made bad moves, but it just hasn't turned into winning baseball at all.
Kevin Gausman was the guy I wanted that free agency season. And that deal is a steal. Look at all the money getting doled out right now. What was it? 6 years, 120, something like that.
I think six or five, 120. And he took less money, or the Mets offered him more money, and he came to Toronto, which people can't believe that's a thing that happened as of this offseason.
Well, the taxes are similar, so I don't know. I mean, Toronto's kind of a cool city, isn't it? That's what I always hear.
I like Toronto. On the buildings aren't that nice, but you get into the city, you can do a lot of cool, fun things.
Yeah, well. It's a very multicultural city too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know if that had some appeal or not. I would choose Toronto over New York. New York's like a shithole right now, but that's neither here nor there. But Gausman I liked. I really liked Bassett. He wasn't like my first choice that winter, but as names came off the board, I was like, man, he would just be so solid. And he, I mean, what was it? 3 years, 63 is what you signed. That's not an overpay. That's like Alex Cobb just got $15 million.
Yeah, Charlie Morton got $15 million.
Exactly. Like if you've like, I don't know. It's getting nuts right now, but there's not really any moves that Toronto have made where I've looked back and thought that was dumb. It just for whatever reason, the team just hasn't gelled.
Yeah. I mean, they just haven't won playoff games, I think is more of the thing. Cause 22, they were great. 23, one of the best pitching and defense teams in the league. That turns out they get swept in both of those games. The 8-1 loss the 8-1 lead against the Seattle Mariners in game two of the 22 wild card series is just when it started to go down. After that, it feels like nothing good has happened to our ball club, unfortunately.
That was against the Mariners?
Mariners, yeah. Okay. 8-1 lead after six innings, and you end up losing that game.
Wow. Who was on the mound? Who gave it up?
Everyone.
Oh, okay.
Every reliever who came in.
Just a domino effect.
Yeah.
I remember a catastrophic collapse there, but I couldn't remember the details. I love October baseball. As much as my team hasn't been in it, it's the best playoffs there is. Some people say hockey, and I get it, but for me, it's baseball. I love it. So I don't, and every year I feel like your GM is on the hot seat, but they keep him. And like I said, it's not really his fault.
People call him, so you told me not to swear on this. And they call they say Shatkins. They just say he's shitty. Okay. Ross Atkins. Everyone says that. If that's like the take, everyone will say, I just don't think he's made that many bad deals all in all. It just hasn't found a way. It's turned into, he can't get anything done. No one wants to play for him in Toronto. The farm system is awful, which he's not the farm director. So that doesn't help him. Can't really trade away great prospects if you're farm director, you're not drafting well, which he oversees. So you get some of that blame for sure. You don't get scot-free off that. But again, all the moves and signings, we don't, like you said before, we haven't had one where I'm like, oh, this is the worst deal ever. And I think we want to do that for Santander now because we haven't done it before. And they're kind of just grasping for straws. Letting Teoscar Hernandez go, big blow to the fan base. Even though it worked out, he was horrible in Seattle the 1 year he was under contract for the Jays, he would have been before he was a free agent. But then you see him go to Los Angeles as he signed as a free agent, and everyone freaks out that we had a reliever who wasn't great last year. It just didn't make sense. It's like he wasn't even going to be on our team most likely this year. It's like, we have to use our heads a little bit. We have hockey brain, I think, sometimes, where the Leafs are in there and they trade for everyone because the media hypes up all their prospects. They do all that fun stuff. So we just got to get some of the hockey brain away. But it's fun. People care, at least.
Yeah, I didn't know how the Varsho deal would work out. I'm guessing it hasn't been super great that because you got him for Teoscar, correct?
No, we Erik Swanson for Teoscar.
Oh, and my bad. Who did you trade?
Varsho was Gabriel Moreno and Lourdes Gurriel.
Oh, it was Gurriel. My bad. Yeah. Yeah.
So kind of when the heart of the team kind of left, kind of the fun Blue Jays, I would call them, where it was outgoing. It was a lot. It was fun to watch. It played with some flair when Teoscar and Lourdes left. But again, two bad defenders, and they went and got some pitching, and then they became the best defending team in baseball, and that's how they tried to win. They tried to double down on it this year, and it sewered the team this year.
Yeah, and it just seems like Varsho, he's a bit of a strikeout machine, and it just hasn't quite lived up to it.
He's a league average hitter right now. He hit 25 home runs with the D-backs before he came here, and he's just, we haven't got there yet. We haven't seen that pop.
Yeah. Arizona, I know they have the humidor, but it's somewhat of a team. It's somewhat of a home run friendly park. But yeah, so I just thought, man, this is just a team. Just on paper, you look so good. And is it possible, like, you've got some tradable assets if you want to? We're going to get into Vladdy in a minute here, but I don't see why it would be this long, painful rebuild if you wanted to ship off a couple of guys and then make a few key signings like Santander, maybe Bregman also. I just think you'd be right back in it. It wouldn't be that long at all.
Yeah, the problem with, Bo Bichette's the one that you think about that. It's only 1 year left on his deal, too. Like, if it was 2 years, we're getting a big haul and kind of restarting that thing pretty quickly. Other than that, there's not too many people under contract for the long haul for the Blue Jays. Like, not a ton at all.
Well, I mean, if you were completely comfortable with punting on this season, I mean, you could also trade Gausman and get a decent piece back. Some of your pitchers, Bassett, and I just feel like it could be a really fast rebuild. The Chicago White Sox, everybody thinks they're in for this long-term rebuild, but they got one of the best farms in Major League Baseball. They're going to be back way faster than people imagine.
Yeah, they'll be very bad this year, but after that, you get some of those young guys up at the tail end of this year, get their feet wet a little bit, and I think they'll be in an okay spot too.
Yeah, maybe a couple more bad years, but they'll be the unexpected team that takes that leap the year that it happens. So I don't know. I just feel like the Blue Jays can go a million different ways and potentially come out of it okay if, you know.
Honestly, it's just they've become the team that people want to beat down on Twitter. People enjoy the Shohei Ohtani's on the plane. It was the worst tweet that could have ever been tweeted for this franchise. That's a tough one. And now everyone's saying they'll be in on everyone. They don't get anyone. It's like, if you miss out on two of the best free agents ever, but you're willing to spend the money, I can't chirp my front office for that. They chose to go to the Mets and the Dodgers. I mean, we're in the fight. It's better than a lot of the other teams who have owners who don't want to spend money. When the one free agent does choose Toronto, I'm hoping Roki Sasaki's that one. Not so sure about that one, but then we'll be fine. It'll be like, okay, why did we worry for so long? It's just free agents get to choose where they want to go.
Yeah, and since you mentioned him, I feel like the Padres are the lead dog.
For sure.
That's who you believe as well? Yeah. It doesn't sound like he wants to go to the Dodgers, which means it'll probably happen. But
no, he got chirped big time by the Japanese media this year with kind of how he handled everything. So he doesn't want to be in a place where he's also going to get scrutinized big time by the media as well. So San Diego does seem like that spot too. And then you have Yu Darvish there, pretty easy selling point as to why you want to go there. But so Roki was teammates with Roberto Ozuna in Japan, and Roberto Ozuna was a closer for the Jays during the heyday of the 2010s when it was awesome. So at least I know I have someone in his ear telling him how great baseball in Toronto can be instead of someone who was kind of there this year. He talked to Kikuchi as well about Toronto, so it'll be interesting. I don't plan that it's going to be – I would put us in third place for this one like most of them, but – it'll be interesting. The miracle could happen.
Yeah, I mean, who ever thought Ohtani was going to choose the Angels the first time around?
it's true.
I'm like, dude, if you would have just chose the Dodgers so much sooner, you'd have like four rings by now or something. Not that many, but it just, he went to the team where it was going to be impossible to win a ring, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so crazy. Well, all right, so let's go ahead and get into Vladdy. Now, full disclosure, he's like our golden goose on the podcast. Like, we have our own private war room, and we argue and play patty cakes about various things. You know, Alonso versus Bregman, Arenado versus whoever. Every single one of us would give up half the farm for Vladimir Jr. And, you know, the dream is to get back to having a Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz in your heart of the order. And
yep.
Vladdy endeavors. That's as close as you're ever going to get, you know, with righty lefty. And Vladimir's numbers are so good at Fenway. But let me just tell you my read on it. I think you guys are going to re-sign him. I really do. And the reason why I feel like you are is he's got no reason to even sign an extension, yet he did give you guys a deadline to get it done. I mean, he's making $28.5 million this year. So it's not like he's looking for that big fat raise this year at this point. And, you know, he's got all the incentive in the world to go to free agency, but he's still at least willing to have conversations with you guys. I think he likes Toronto.
Yeah, we've been fortunate enough to meet Vladdy's cousins a bunch, and every time they've said that he enjoys the city. I think I agree with you as well. I'm obviously a fan. I want him to be here, but I think he's pulled out every leverage stop in the book to try and make this happen, to make the most money possible. Saying, having it leaked that he wants to go to the Red Sox, why don't you say a team out of the division if you actually want to go to the team, but saying you want to go to a team in the division is going to make your front office shake right away. Like, the most obvious thing, yeah, we want to see Vladdy in the division if I'm going to keep my job for Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro. Obviously, he doesn't want that. He comes out and at every stop says he wants to be in Toronto. And sometimes you can take that as coach speak. Again, it's a hockey thing where they just say whatever people want to hear you say. Not a lot of flair behind it or a lot of personality, but I think he does want to be there too. And then, the Soto contract threw things for a whirl a little bit with how much money he got. I think they offered him 10, 340 at the end of the year. And this is the first year where it was imminent that he's going to be a free agent at the end of next year, or sorry, at the end of this season, where it made sense to try and sign him to an extension. He had two poor years to his standards before, where there was honest talks as to signing Bo Bichette before Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because of you'd rather have a good shortstop than a good first baseman paid a lot of money. Just usually how baseball works. They're going to be more valuable, more wins per season for a shortstop if you're good than a first baseman. So he's kind of pulled out all the stops. They've offered him a couple contracts. It hasn't been good enough for him. They've given the spring training, start spring training date to get it done. He's been very smart about it by saying it's all on the front office. Everyone hates the front office right now. The only way they get back in fans' good graces, not the only way, Sasaki would help, but the best way is to sign Vladdy to an extension. So the ball is firmly in his court, and he's got to be feeling pretty good about getting the extension done here.
And I saw 350, so that's not far off from what you gave. And then his asking price was 450. Was that the case or no?
I think that's what it turned out to be. Yeah, 450. I don't know the years on that. I don't think it's 10 450. I think it'd be 12 450 potentially as the number to get done.
Yeah, and with him being, I think this is his age 26 season coming up. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I could see why he would want 10, because if he could still be, you've seen guys like Nelson Cruz extended his career for quite a while, so he could still, you know, get decent money if he can, you know, stay healthy.
We just had Justin Turner. I mean, you guys had Justin Turner. Exactly. We had Justin Turner right after. JD Martinez, guys who are still doing it, who don't play a position at all and just hit and make $20 million, I think. He's going to be fine if he gets 10 years to have a contract or two after that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're willing to go however much it was for Soto, I don't see why you wouldn't do that for Vladimir. You'd have to get this overwhelming trade package. I think the Red Sox could do that, as we were talking on the pre-show. But it's just, it would be crazy to me that they wouldn't get it done. And if your GM is on the hot seat, though, and he were to get this like massive haul for him, and then the team just, if those prospects pay off, I mean, you're kind of seeing it now with Bloom. I still don't think he's very good, but he did draft some position players really well, and I think that's kind of helped him get his job. And yeah, he might be the guy who trades Vladimir, but if you guys get some studs in that package at his next job interview, he can be like, yeah, I traded him, but look, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't think the Blue Jays are giving him that next. He's not going to see his prospects through, I don't think, if that happens this way, because Vlad's the offense for this team that kind of lacked it last season as well. So yeah, I don't think you have to. The Red Sox would be a great team to deal with for that, but again, it's in the division. If you think you are competitive this season, it's that kind of goes out the window, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know that it would be the Red Sox, but you know, just any team willing to give up the haul for him, provided that an extension was agreed upon. I don't think you can trade him without having that in place. But you look at the first base market, though. Albert Pujols is the highest paid of all time at 240. So
yeah,
for even the offer the Blue Jays gave Vlad blows that out of the water. And yeah, did you ever hear about how that Pujols deal got done?
No.
I tell this like a couple times a year. It happened in the winter meetings, and Artie Moreno is one of those owners that meddles, and it sucks for Anaheim. And he approached Pujols' agent at the winter meetings, and he asked him if will Albert take $160 million? And the agent said, no, I I'd have to talk to him. So Moreno goes, well, how about 200? You know, would he take 200? And he goes, well, that's a very generous offer, but I would still have to, you know, talk to Albert about that. And then he goes, well, what about 240? Literally, in a 2-minute conversation. And that's how the deal went down. He talked up the owner at winter meetings. So, so that's how the richest first base contract of all time became a thing. So, you know, they just don't make a lot of money. I mean, look at what Alonso's doing right now. And I wonder if that's in the back of Vladdy's mind. I mean, he would definitely get a massive deal, but he's got to be looking across the league thinking, why aren't these first basemen getting paid?
I think Pete Alonso is going to be pissed about how much money Vladdy's about to make, because I think they're handling Pete Alonso as they should handle first base contracts in baseball. They shouldn't be that. You can find a lot of players who can only hit, and not as well as Vladimir Guerrero Jr. all being, but you can piece together some power guys and find it that way. So I think he's unfortunately being treated like everyone else really sees first baseman. Vlad just has a tie to the city and a tie to the Blue Jays that they don't want to get rid of. It's a little different than how Pete Alonso is.
Yeah, and I mean, Freddie Freeman, he was like 32 or 33 when he signed his deal, but he got 160. So, I mean, that's significant, but it's not like, doesn't blow anything out of the water.
It was always the Prince Fielder deal that they tried.
Oh, my goodness.
That I looked at the age, that was just kind of the start as to where you'd go with Vladdy based on how much money he got at that time of his career. That was always the start a couple years ago that I thought they would get to, and now that's, it's not going to be close to that.
Yeah, you really have to get those done before ARB1. If you don't, you start to lose your leverage. And what's 3 years to a player that's 25 years old? You know what I mean? You're still gonna hit the market. But yeah, I mean, if you guys don't, I would still unload as a free agent for Vladimir if he gets there. But he's just a beast at Fenway. That park is tailor-made. We don't have right-handed hitters. Ever since Mookie left, JD we had, but all of our power hitters are lefty, and that just doesn't profile super well at Fenway unless you can.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to an outsider.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you can go opposite field, and Devers was starting to do that last year. I think even Duran was doing it a little bit, but man, you got to get some elite righty bats in there. And Vladimir just checks off all the boxes.
That's why I thought Teoscar Hernandez had the chance to be a Red Sox, even because they were talked about it doing before he was a Dodger the first time. They didn't offer him the extra year or something like that. I thought that was a perfect fit. I thought Teoscar was going to go to Boston. Tyler O'Neill was already in Baltimore. And then Santander was going to be a Blue Jay. So you just kind of wife swap him around a couple teams. I thought those were going to be three just perfect fits. I thought we're going to end up.
Yeah, some of my co-hosts, we've got six of us on the crew, but some of them really high on Teoscar. I was kind of in the middle. I wasn't in love with the strikeouts was the big thing for me, but we've seen him just golf him right over that monster. So if it happened, I could live with it. If we signed Bregman, I mean, I could live with it, but he's like a worse fit, I feel like. Of all the free agents, if we're going to sign any of them, I think Alonso makes the best sense for the Red Sox, because they're hell-bent on trading Casas. And first base isn't blocked. You know, there's no stud prospect coming up. So, and I'm not even a big Alonso guy. I think he would hit 40 a year at Fenway. And he does check off the right-handed hitter, over the monster boxes. But it's just been kind of a wonky winter for us. We haven't even replaced Tyler O'Neill yet. We're still as lefty heavy as we were.
Yeah.
We got that Christian Campbell kid. You guys will be seeing a lot of him, but
he had a pretty good year.
Yeah. He'll probably destroy that monster and, you know, hit a bunch over it. But
Meyer and, I just had his name. I don't know.
Anthony.
They're both left-handed hitters.
They
right?
are. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Crazy thing about Anthony is he has reverse splits though, and hits righties way better. But
you can handle that.
I don't know in terms of pull side or opposite side, but yeah, I mean, he's someone we feel good about. He's you know, the number one prospect in all of baseball. I can DM you a picture, but they took one over the weekend. We had our annual like Red Sox Winterfest.
Yeah.
And he looks just like Screech from Saved by the Bell in the picture. Just the way his hair was, it's just, that's immediately what I saw. And someone commented, they're like, I'm never going to unsee this. It was just crazy. That Winterfest, though, was intense. Not this year, but the previous couple, because it ended up being like a mob scene. Like, they had a town hall thing, and they thought it was all going to be lovey-dovey and go nice, but everyone was fixing to riot. This was like 2 years ago. Last year wasn't...
Did they not do one last year? Because I don't know, you bring him up here, but I thought Carrabba's hosted it, right? When they freaked out at him on the stage, I thought he was hosting it because I saw some stuff on that.
No, I think Papelbon was the host of it. They tried to do it like late night TV style, like Jimmy Fallon, David Letterman style. And Papelbon was like the host, and then the three owners sat up there. But I think Carrabba's was kind of leading the rebellion, if I'm not mistaken. Nice. Yeah.
Where are you guys at with the whole spending money thing that kind of plagued the team for a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not like a big blow past the luxury tax type guy. You know, I really do value a lot of the mid-market signings. That's why I was such a big fan of the Gausman signing. I'm like, that is so perfect. You know, it's not super long. It's not a ton as far as AAV. Like, those are the types of things I want to see. And I was a big Max Fried guy because he was a lefty and we need lefties, but he came off the board and I was kind of hoping we'd trade for a Mariners pitcher and maybe extend them, you know, because they're fairly young. Yeah. And I would do that for a 27, 28-year-old pitcher. I would absolutely back up the Brinks truck. For 30, 31, I'm hesitant, you know. But we got Crochet, which is good. As long as we can extend him, we'll probably botch that. We wouldn't even give Jaron Duran $500,000 in arbitration.
Oh, well, that's
just how stupid we are.
The Blue Jays did that with Vladdy last year.
Oh, did they?
It can work if it's a... Yeah, I think it worked out well for the team because he started not too happy. Arb's obviously not a fun thing for the players involved. He won his Arb case and then big year from him. So maybe not that Duran had a bad year. He's fantastic.
Yeah,
that one's a little more interesting than
he had a higher WAR than Soto. How do you give up supposedly $700 million is where we were at with Soto before we said uncle. And but then you don't give $500K to Duran who had a higher WAR than Soto last year. That was just insane to me. We got the dumbest front office. Like, there's no self-awareness. They can't keep a narrative straight. Sam Kennedy is just the dumbest. He's the common denominator for all our problems. That's why nobody took the job. Breslow was nowhere near on the rate. They wanted him to do pitching analytics earlier in that winter, and then he became the GM because it was just so bad. And I think Atkins is you guys.
Yeah.
Harris is, yeah, Detroit. But I think he's done an okay job. I look at everything. I guess the farm kind of falls on him a little bit, like you said, but the major league roster, you look at Alex Anthopoulos, he built that 2010s team and it was impressive. And he goes to Atlanta. And in my opinion, he is the best executive in Major League Baseball, I would say.
Yeah, he's found a way to do it. As much as I want to talk, like, he crushed the farm here to get major league players, but we won. It's like, how mad can you be at that time? Like, you're a fan of the Toronto Blue Jays. You're not a fan of the Dunedin Blue Jays. Who cares?
Oh, that was awful.
Yeah, it's just like, You can rinse the farm, get rid of the people if you're going to win games and go deep into the postseason. And I think people think that Atkins has gotten through the farm. We haven't made that many deals. Like, we haven't really traded prospects away who are worth anything. But yeah, we just haven't been able to win playoff games and or have a good farm system. And that's tough for people to get on board with.
It sounds like you guys need to work on your infrastructure a little bit to get, you know, some nerds in there to help fix that. But all right, so tell us about the Gate 14 pod.
Been very successful in our short time. It's been awesome. Made some great friends where we know a bunch of the players now. So we get to hang out with a lot of the guys. They're gracious enough with our time, with their time for us. And yeah, just get to talk Blue Jays baseball you're in Boston, but one of the biggest markets with people creating content for the team. We just kind of came in at the right time for a market with not a lot of young people creating content for the Toronto Blue Jays. So just kind of hit on it being the hockey market. No one's like, okay, yeah, we'll do Blue Jays at our age. So we were lucky enough.
Yeah, we were kind of early to the party, so that kind of helps us a little bit. And we kind of have our own lane because we're more critical. You know,
yep.
You're not going to – everyone, if we're not their favorite, they can listen to their favorite, and then we're the next one you want to listen to because we're going to be different. You know, so that's kind of the secret sauce for us. But, you know, we typically do right around 300,000, you know, downloads. That's bigger than I ever thought we'd be.
But oh, yeah.
Are you guys credentialed or no? You said you talked to the players?
No, absolutely not credentialed at all.
Gotcha.
No, we were able to be the biggest baseball podcast in the country. So been great. But, yeah, we just are my co-host, new Danny Jansen. And through that, we've been able to get anyone. We get dinner with Chris Bassett when we go to spring training. We play golf. We play golf with a bunch of the guys. Yeah, so it's cool to hang out and talk to them. Every guy we've met is just a normal person who likes to drink beers, and they're just really good at sports. We had an awesome night with Kevin Gausman, him and Bowden Francis. It was kind of a bunch of probably 10 of the guys. We were just at a bar in Toronto. And Bowden Francis and Kevin Gausman were done. So it was the last series against the Marlins. And they stayed out with us till 2 a.m, just drinking beers, just being cool guys.
Nice. It's cool to have, you know, that kind of access. I don't think really any of the Boston guys have that type of access to players. I know they... Some of the players, I think, tipped some of them off and all that, but
yeah,
but
we were able to break Ernie Clement's ARB signing. We texted him. I said, Ernie, we'd love to be able to break your number because usually all the big guys do it who work for Sportsnet. And he texted us 197. You guys can report it. So, yeah, it's when the guys want to do it, it's a lot of fun when it's not a chore for them to talk to kind of media, I guess.
We've gotten information at times, but I haven't like tweeted it just in case, because I know I'm never going to be relevant in that game anyway. So I don't want to be the dumbass that ran with the wrong thing. You know what I mean,
my co-host has a source where he's broken, I think, six. He says he's 6-0, Johnny Sources. He's got someone who gives him the scoop, and now the credentialed media give us credit on the scoop. So we're in a good spot right now. Haven't gotten one wrong. Don't plan on doing that anytime soon.
From what I can tell, if you can like be friends with family members of players, I think that's helpful. I think you can,
it is.
You can get stuff. Yeah. That's kind of how I was doing it for a little while, but yeah. All right. Well, you're available on all the apps, I assume.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Absolutely.
You guys on YouTube or anything like that?
Yeah. YouTube, wherever you want to find us, Gate 14 podcast, Gate 14 pod, you'll find us.
Are you guys going to get TikTok banned? Is that going to happen in Canada?
I don't think so.
Oh man.
I don't think so.
That's about to happen here on Sunday, I guess.
We've been following that TikTok. Do a good job on TikTok, so it'd be tough to lose that following base.
Yeah.
But you just got to adapt. It's all about the next thing.
Trump wants to try to save it. I don't know if he can, but we'll see. Well, all right. Well, we'll wrap on that. So if anybody wants to, you know, if the Vladdy rumors kick up, I'm sure you guys will be all over it as well as some other stuff. So check out the Gate 14 pod. Excuse me. And for everyone else, we'll be back as things develop. I'll be in Florida for the next few days, but I'll have my equipment with me. And nothing feels imminent, but you never know. Spring training is getting close, so you know shit has to happen at some point. So we'll be back as things develop. And if you don't hear from us in the next 24 hours, have a great weekend. Take care.